Thank you so much for your love. I was thinking about Jesus' words when he was talking to Nicodemus this morning in John chapter 3. What you did and what we're celebrating is because of God's love. He loved us all so much. And salvation is a gift for us all. But those words would be shallow if it wasn't for the resurrection today. Christianity would just be another false religion, but it's not, because you rose again, God, and we thank you so much for that, for your gift of salvation, for everyone who believes and puts their faith in you. I pray that you be with Ashley this morning as he speaks. Help us all to quiet our hearts and to hear the message, to hear what you want to teach each of us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Seth. Welcome to Resurrection Sunday at New Song Community Church. My name is Ashley McGlone. I'm one of the elders here. And today we're remembering and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So please make sure you've got a bulletin handout. If you don't have one of those, raise your hand. If you need a pen, raise your hand. One of our ushers will get you one. We've got some notes in there to follow along today, because I'm going to need your help. You're going to need to take some notes and listen carefully. So the sermon notes handout has a QR code, and if you scan that, you can download the full message with all the verses that we're going to read today, so you don't have to worry about following the notes there too closely. It'll have all the Bible passages that we read. And then there's a smaller slip of paper in your bulletin with another QR code that we'll talk about a little bit later. All right, so I need your help today. Dave, can you put my slides up there? While Dave's working on the slides, go ahead and put that up there for us. Here's the thing, I need your help with the slides. It's only 5 slides and they're all blank. They're all blank. You're going to tell me what to put on them. This is going to be interactive today. All right, here's how this is going to go. I'm going to read some Bible passages. And you know how it is reading Bible verses. Sometimes it's not even a complete sentence, complete thought, but you're going to get the gist of it. All right, I'm going to read some verses. And in your bulletin there is the handout. You've got your pen. You're ready. You're going to take some notes, listen for key words, and you're going to tell me what's the point we're trying to make as we're reading these passages, all right? So we're going to create these slides together, and as you can see, there's no title. There's no points in the sermon. And then when we're all done, we'll present the slides, and we'll read through them together, all right? That's a little different today. So take notes as we search out for patterns in these passages that we're going to read, and you tell me the points. We're going to skip the title for now, save that for last, but hang with me. I promise this is going to all come together at the end. All right, so as we begin with these few passages of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, he describes what he calls the gospel. All right, the gospel literally means good news. It's both a verb and a noun. At one point, Paul says, "The good news, I good newsed to you." The good news is both a verb and a noun that Paul uses over and over. So we're going to look at what Paul proclaims as the good news. Now, write down what strikes you, okay? So you're going to have to listen, take some notes. Here we go. 3 short passages of Paul on what he calls the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 1, he says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Next up, the very next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Then 1 Corinthians 15, Paul again, the same letter, says, "Now I would remind you of the gospel I preached to you, the good news I good news to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you're being saved, If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep, and then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. So we preached, and so you believed. I've never given a sermon like this. This sermon is going to be about 80% scripture today. And there's a reason why. I want us to follow Paul's example here. No fancy words, only the plain and powerful cross and resurrection. So how do you view the preaching of the cross that Paul just talked about? Is it folly? Is it power? Paul knew all the fancy words. He was a Pharisee, after all. But he chose not to use them. Why? Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ stands on its own. It is the greatest miracle. It needs no decoration or amplification. And attempts to decorate the cross only drain the message of its power, Paul tells us. We don't need to be clever. We need to be clear. That's what Paul's telling us in these passages. So, for our introduction point here in our slide, we've listened to Paul's description of the gospel. I decided not to use fancy words, to know Christ and him crucified. First importance, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, he was raised, and he appeared. I've preached it and you've believed it. How could we summarize this for our first introduction point today? What do you think? Just shout it out.
Simplicity.
I like that. What else?
Good news.
Good news. All right. How about we go with that? The good news is simple. There we go. We just made our first slide point. You guys are doing great. All right. We're going to keep this going because we have 5 points now to make in our that we're going to take away from Scripture today. So here we go. The first point comes from the words of Jesus himself in the gospel. So listen, take notes, see if you can figure out what the point is. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And the disciples were greatly distressed. "And deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." And said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead.' Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus has spoken." So take a look at your notes. What did you write down there? As you're looking at that, let me read a really good recap here. That first verse, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed on the third day rise. What do we take away from these passages?
The disciples didn't grasp it.
The disciples didn't grasp it.
They heard
What else? It was foretold. Yes. What else? He laid out the plan in detail. Yeah. So let's go with point one. Jesus foretold the plan, his suffering, his death and resurrection. Jesus told them, and then they struggled to really grasp that, to really get it. All right. Okay, now this next one, there's no slide point that we're after here. We're going to go to, because this is Resurrection Sunday, we're going to read the resurrection passages of John chapter 20. I'm not going to read the whole chapter just yet. So I want you to listen to the resurrection account. Jesus said it was going to happen, that he was going to raise on the third day. Let's read what actually happened. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciples, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first, and stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, and this is John writing, he's putting himself in a very humble light. This is John, who was there as the witness. You who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned to him in an Aramaic. She said, "Rabboni," which means "my teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So we see that Jesus said he would raise from the dead, and he did indeed raise from the dead. And now we move on to the second point. So take notes as I read these passages. This is the longest list of verses I'm going to read today. You can't fault me for reading scripture in the church. All right. And the fact that it is a long list makes a very clear point. So don't worry about the verse references. You can download all those later. Just listen to these verses and tell me what you hear. Tell me about the pattern that we see here. Here we go. "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he was risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." This was now the third day that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God, beginning from the baptism of John and until the day when he was taken up from us. One of these men must become with us a witness to the resurrection. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This is our summary verse for this section right here. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. Greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you. Well, they were talking about explaining how they'd healed someone in Acts. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who've been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And when they had carried out what was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it's written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and raise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. Now, some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, what does this babbler say? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. This is a quick insert here. This is Paul talking to pagans in Athens, and he did not shrink back from sharing the resurrection of Jesus Christ with unbelievers. Because he's fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. And he was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. But for ours also, it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead our Lord Jesus, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith and the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, this sounds familiar, wait a minute, that's on our banner right over here. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant. I love this one right here, 1 Peter 1:3. You can write that down, 1 Peter 1:3, this is a good one. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right. Was there a theme in those verses? Did you notice something? Big shaking head over here. What do you got, Eric?
God raised Jesus from the dead.
God raised Jesus from the dead. That's good news. I was sitting in the dentist chair last Thursday morning. And, you know, the hygienist is cleaning your teeth. And then the dentist comes in for like 30 seconds to like look in your mouth. And I said, hey, did you hear the good news? He's like, no, what? I said, God raised Jesus from the dead. Yes, God raised Jesus from the dead. Anybody else got another take on that? There's one other little thing we could probably add to that point. Witnesses, yes. God raised Jesus from the dead, and there were, if I could type, yeah, there were many witnesses. That's right. Okay, so Jesus foretold his death, burial, and resurrection after 3 days, and then it happened. And notice here, it doesn't say that Jesus raised himself. It's in the passive. God the Father raised Jesus the Son from the dead. Over and over, we read this. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. That's our summary verse in your notes there. That's good. All right, we're going to keep going. So that was the longest list of passages that we're going to, but it makes the most significant point. The sheer volume of how many passages in the New Testament mention the resurrection of Christ is that same ratio in our own daily speech. Do we talk about Christ that much? Do we talk about the resurrection of Christ as much as the New Testament writers did? It's elevated throughout Scripture. Now, the rest of these are going to go a little more quickly, so pay attention. All right, you ready? Here we go. What's the next point from these passages? The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And you will be blessed. Now, many of these words are Jesus himself speaking. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore because they're equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to all whom he will. And come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it up on the last day. Here's our theme verse for this section. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks of my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. That's exciting. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Did you detect a little theme going there? What did you hear?
He is the resurrection and the life.
He is the resurrection and the life. What else?
Ain't no grave gonna hold
this body down. That's right. Yeah. Anyone else?
We share in the resurrection.
Oh, I love that. That's a good summary. See, I'm going to put that right here. We share in the resurrection. Jesus promised that when we believe, that we also will be resurrected with him in the last day. That verse, John 6:40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I, this is Jesus speaking, I will raise him up on the last day. All right, now this fourth point, we've just got a few verses, just four verses here on this fourth point. So you're going to have to stitch together from a little less material here. So this is Paul, after speaking to unbelievers in Athens on Mars Hill, and he says, now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. But others said, we'll hear you again about this. Paul later in Caesarea, I was actually, May 2023, I sat in the amphitheater at Caesarea, right on the Mediterranean coast. It's absolutely beautiful. It's the biggest port city in all of the Roman Empire that Herod built, as he had an inferiority complex and he was trying to make up to Rome. And he built the most amazing seaport there. And so this is the place where Paul is giving his defense before Festus and Agrippa. And he says, why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? And then later to the church at Corinth, you got to read 1 Corinthians 15. It's all over this. It's a great, great chapter. Go back and read the whole chapter later. So now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but he talks about six just foundational elementary points of doctrine that he calls out at the end of chapter 5, beginning of chapter 6. And he calls these the basic principles of the oracles of God. And he says, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation. So what he's setting up is here's like, look, people, there's milk and there's meat. You know, kids do milk, adults do meat. You know, this stuff is like basics of Christianity, which includes in this list, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, so repentance, faith toward God, okay, that's pretty basic. Instructions about washings and laying on of hands, not sure how much we do that today as much, maybe. Washings, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. He calls these things just like, this is 101, folks. If we got to redo this part, you know, you're missing something here. Let's get to the bigger items. So Paul is, or the, excuse me, the writer of Hebrews is calling out the resurrection of the dead as the basics here. He didn't shrink back from talking about the resurrection with pagans. So what's our point in these few verses here? The resurrection is the key. Okay. What else?
Well, I never told my dentist that Jesus has been raised from the dead.
Yeah, why have I never told my dentist that Jesus has been raised from the dead? Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Resurrection is important. What we're really going for here is what were the other people's response to the resurrection? Why are you surprised? Okay, they were surprised.
Not everyone believed.
Not everyone believed. You're right, Grant. Yeah. Paul said, why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? He built the planet. He built us. He built the apples and the oranges and trees and everything we see. Why can't he take matter that already exists and just breathe life into it again? Like, this is God, the creator we're talking about. Why can't he do that? But also notice that it says that he was mocked. So our fourth point is not everyone believes. Here we go. We're on a good roll here. Last point. What are you going to hear as we listen to the preaching of Peter, the preaching of Paul, and the preaching of Jesus? What do they want us to know? Peter, in his sermon at Pentecost, said, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. And he goes on with his sermon, and the response to the sermon goes like this. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? In other words, we've heard this message, now what do we do with it? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added about 3,000 souls that day. That's Peter preaching. Here's Paul talking to the Romans. Familiar passage. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, if we talk about Jesus before he died, he had this conversation with Martha. He's on the way. Lazarus has died.
Both Mary and Martha come to greet him, and they each have the same thing to say. If only you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. And this is what Jesus said to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's our fifth point. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? From these few passages, what is our response to be? What is our fifth point here?
Confess and believe.
Confess and believe. Yes.
Believe they'll never die.
They'll never die. Yep. Very good. Let's put that in here. Confess and believe. And then that goes back to point two that point three, we'll share in that resurrection. We will never die then with Jesus. So Peter said, repent and be baptized. Paul said, confess and believe. Jesus said simply, do you believe? Now, we're going to come back and review these. But I just want you to think for a minute, big picture for a second. We've talked about all these places Scripture mentions the resurrection. What do you have any like things that you just kind of observe here, take away, things that just kind of, like, outside of these points, what does this mean to you? Any reflections? Well, I've heard a few of them here. Yeah, Rick.
Even though we may be buried in this life, we'll be risen.
Even though we're buried in this life, we will raise again someday, just like Jesus. That's right. Greg said it. Why haven't I had a conversation with my dentist about? Here's some observations that I made. I went ahead and typed these up in advance to save us a little time. We have made the gospel too complicated. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to understand apologetics because you're asking me to believe, but how do I trust the Bible then? And how do I know the Bible? We need to know apologetics and how to explain and give a reason for what we believe. Those are all good things. But how often do we share this gospel and say, God has a wonderful plan for your life? And like Jack said last week, we're very tempted to knock off the sharp edges of the gospel when we share the gospel. But we just saw Paul talking to complete pagans, talking about raising the dead, and they thought he was crazy, and they mocked him. But some did believe. We have omitted the resurrection from our conversation as Christians. That's a big point that I want us to take away today. The good news is simple. Jesus died, was buried, was raised, and appeared. That's 1 Corinthians 15. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures and appeared, 1 Corinthians 15. Now the Apostle Paul talked, the apostles, all these apostles talked a lot about the resurrection. Do I talk about the resurrection that much? Maybe I need to adjust the way that I've been taught to share the gospel and get back to the simple message. And you know what those rough edges are there for? It's to prick our hearts and to cause us to examine and to think, is this really crazy that somebody would raise from the dead? How can I trust the Bible? If we just put the simple fact of the gospel there and let people wrestle with it, it's that wrestling that draws them to Christ. And we can have answers beyond that. But when we start with the simple gospel, let us not neglect to show the full story. That Jesus came, died, was buried, rose, and appeared. So, if we recap those passages in your bulletin there, those five verses on those five points, here's the story if we just read it, start to finish. I love this part. Here we go. Ready?
From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? We don't have a title for our sermon yet. What do you think? What should we title this? It can be obvious. The resurrection, good news. Yes, sir. Okay. So let's do the resurrection. And I heard resurrection, if I can spell. All right, there we go. Do you believe? How about that? The resurrection, do you believe? Now I'm going to fill in the last. Any good sermon's got to be applicable, right? We've got to have something to apply to our lives. Here we go. Here's our last closing point. We're going to go back to finish John chapter 20. We got most of the way through. We'll skip a little bit. Here's the last part of John chapter 20, the resurrection account. We left off. Mary Magdalene tells the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And he said to Thomas, somehow Jesus heard what Thomas said. Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it at my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And then John, as he's closing this chapter, makes this little kind of editor's note, author's note. Listen to what he says. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Jesus was asking Thomas to believe. He saw. He did. He did believe. But remember what he asked Martha? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Well, let's keep going. What did she say? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world. Today we are celebrating Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, alive. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah! He's alive! He really is alive. The resurrection of Jesus Christ stands on its own as the heart of the good news. It is the greatest miracle ever recorded.
Fancy words only drain the message of its power. Again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ stands on its own. Now, if you would like some more information to help you to decide to believe, your bulletin today does have a smaller slip of paper with another QR code in there. And that's going to take you to a little YouTube video that does a pretty good job of explaining the good news of what Jesus came to do and how you can come to know him and believe. Then also after the service, as usual, we're going to have people down front here to pray today. And if you would like to talk with someone, understand more about this story, we would love to talk to you. And if you're struggling, like some of those we read about today, if you're struggling to believe, please don't leave here today until you talk to someone. Share your doubts. Share what it is that you're struggling with to believe here. Clearly, there are so many witnesses who were absolutely convinced and gave their life for this message. So our closing little application point here, I'll fill in for us. All these witnesses believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Do I? So let's take it from the top. Here we go. The title of our message today. Whoops, make sure I'll delete that one. There we go. All right, here we go. I'll actually put it in presentation mode now. There we go. All right. The resurrection, do you believe? That's the title of our sermon today. Great job. All right, here we go. The introduction, the good news is simple. Jesus foretold his suffering, his death, his resurrection in 3 days. God raised Jesus from the dead, and there were many witnesses. And we will share in that resurrection if we believe, but not everyone believes. So what are we to do? We are to confess and believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. For those who do believe, don't make the gospel too complicated. It's very simple. Jesus came, died, was buried, and raised, and appeared. All of this for our sins. The Apostle Paul talked a lot about the resurrection. Do I talk enough about the resurrection? So finally, all these witnesses believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Do I believe that? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these witnesses to the resurrection we heard from today. For those here who believe, forgive us for using fancy words that empty the cross of its power. May we recover the pure good news that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, was raised, and appeared to many witnesses. Jesus, your grave is empty and you are preeminent in everything. May we proclaim your resurrection as boldly as the apostles. And Father, for those here who doubt, may these words of Jesus ring in their soul. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We ask you to help them see how much you love them. We ask you to help them see their sin and need of salvation. May your kindness lead them to repentance, to confession of sin, and to belief in your resurrection. Jesus, we thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. In the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen. Amen. At this time, Seth is going to come and close us in prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this message. God, thank you so much for raising Jesus from the dead, for the resurrection, for the promise that we have of being raised ourselves someday. Thank you for that hope, Lord. Pray that you would help all of us to carry this message on, this good news, whether it be our dentists, our coworkers, our family, whether it's today or throughout this week, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to to really consider this and to share it with those around us, Lord. We don't want to keep it to ourselves. We want to share your love. So please help us to do that. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's stand for the benediction. You know, there's different twists on the word witness. The witness can be an eyewitness, or it can be somebody who gives the testimony. We were not eyewitnesses, as Jesus just pointed out, but we are all witnesses. So Acts 2:32, this Jesus God raised up, and of this we all are witnesses. So may we go out and witness the resurrection of Christ. You're dismissed.